All right. A lot of our listeners don't know where you spent a lot of your childhood.
On baseball fields.
Why is that?
My dad was a coach. My brother played. My other brother played. We were at every single game.
In fact, a lot of people don't know he was my coach.
Yeah.
And I can remember like Little League and then middle school, high school, I'd hit a foul ball. And I am not kidding. I would see Ann Wilson beating all the boys to get the foul ball.
Oh, you are faster, stronger.
You're kicking them out of the way. You bring the swing back. And then, you know, something else our listeners don't know is that when I wanted to date you in high school, your dad,
he told me you are not allowed to date Dave Wilson.
Do you want to tell people why?
Dave's 3 years older, and he had a very poor reputation with partying and with girls. And so my dad said, there's no way you're getting close to this guy.
Yeah. Well, guess what? I married her 9 months later. So guess who won that one?
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com or on our Family Life app.
This is Family Life Today. A lot of you will know this name. We have Daryl Strawberry with us today and his wife, Tracy. And I'm going to tell you, you're in for a treat because they have a great story of what God has done. Tracy is like this little fireball, and you're going to love her as well. And they're going to tell their story.
Yeah. So welcome to Family Life Today.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Excited.
Glad to have you here. You know, and a lot of people obviously will know, Daryl, your story of, and I didn't know all these stats, and I'm not going to go through them, but 4 World Series titles, 17 years in the bigs. Am I right?
You're right.
8 All-Star appearances, the Mets, the Yankees. We won't even get into it. I hear you love Boston.
Yeah, now that my daughter goes to school in Boston.
Yeah, that's right.
And she's a volleyball player.
She's a volleyball player.
Yeah.
All our kids. The girls played volleyball, 3 of them, and basketball. The boys played basketball. No baseball. My boys told me baseball was boring.
Really? How many kids do you have? Do you guys have?
We have 9. I always say God's got a great sense of humor. since I played Major League Baseball for 17 years and accomplished all these things, he gives me my own little baseball team, 9 kids, the starting lineup.
Seriously?
They got the 2 coaches on the side. She's on one side, and I'm on the other side coaching.
Yeah. Did any of your kids hate sports?
I would say my oldest. He's more of a musician. Mm-hmm. I have a swimmer. My son Austin was a swimmer, so he loves swimming. And then my other son's in the military, so sports really wasn't his thing.
And you're blended. Your family's blended.
Yes, we are a blended family.
You've been
blended
married how many years?
As they said.
14.
But you've been together.
21 years.
That's right, you have.
She found me in the gutter.
Yeah, well, we want to talk about that. I mean, I know you don't want to talk about the gutter too long, but I want our listeners.
I love talking about the gutter.
You do? Let's talk about the gutter.
Because we're out of it, praise God.
Yeah.
We want to help other people get out of that gutter.
Yeah, and that's what I want. I want our listeners to hear the whole story. And I want to start here because I found it really interesting in your book. Oh, and by the way, we didn't even mention.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're doing
today.
We have
so much fun together.
Yeah, you have several books out, but the latest one is Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. And, you know, we read it, and it's great.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know, and, you know, I'm a football guy, so I'm reading a baseball player's book.
But welcome, it's not about
baseball.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome to the world. I mean, the great thing, it's really not about baseball, even though each chapter is inning number 1 and inning number 2, but they're chapter titles. But at the beginning, you dedicate, you know, we're authors, and that dedication's an important thing because you're thinking, who do I want to say thanks to about this? And you dedicate this book to Tracy. And several others, but you said
his mom
and your mom. You say God used you to lead me back to Him. I would not be the man I am today without you. And so I thought it'd be interesting to start there. What does that mean? Because I feel the same way about Anne. And so when I read that as a husband, you know, like you, Daryl, I'm like, I would say the same thing. But we don't know all that story, so we're going to start at the end. But I want to go back to the gutter. But why would you say you wouldn't be the man you are today without this woman sitting here, Tracy?
What I think happens a lot to guys is we think we can do everything on our own by ourselves and, you know, create the life that we think is best for us. And in reality, God really gives us this helpmate to help us through the process of life. And I think that's really what it was for me, because I was at the bottom of life and Tracy came into my life and the Lord used her to lead me all the way back from where I was, the brokenness and lost in addiction, you know, in drug homes. And she banging on doors, pulling me out. I'm shooting dope, smoking crack. And she's telling me, God's got a plan for you. I says, why don't you let God just leave me here and let me die? She goes, you're just not that lucky. I was like, wow. I just sit back and think, she's crazier than I am. You know, and I'm the one messed up. I'm the one out here in the pit of life using. Here it is. You give me this woman to bring hope to me, you know, in the midst of my darkness. Yeah. How many women would do that? Not a whole lot.
And God knew exactly who you needed.
Exactly.
She, and she is. She's like a fighter. She'll fight for you.
I mean, she's strong, you know, and God knew exactly what I needed at that time, because I was broken. I was lost. I was empty. When we started this journey, I mean, she didn't look at me from a standpoint of playing Major League Baseball like most women looked at me, you know, being success and having all this stuff. And when I met her, I had nothing. I was $3 million in debt. I didn't have a driver's license. I'm wondering why she's chasing me down and saying God has a plan for me.
You also dedicated the book to your mom.
Yeah.
Tell us about her a little
bit. Yeah, my mom was a wonderful woman, a Christian woman who raised five kids by herself. My father was an alcoholic. He rejected us, beat us, and really told us we'd never amount to anything. Came home for the last time when I was 14, pulled out a shotgun, said he was going to kill the whole family. Me and my brothers went into action. Had it not been for my mother and that look on her face, because my brother Ronnie grabbed a butcher knife and I grabbed a frying pan. And my mother looked at us like, get out. And she meant get out of the house, because we were in this place. We were about to do something that she felt like we would regret for the rest of our life. Because we were about to kill him that night, because we had had it. And we got out of the house because we knew who Mom was, because she raised us. She was always there for us. And she goes on to divorce my father and leave him. And she's taking care of five of us by herself. And it was incredible. She's an incredible woman, very strong, very smart, a very beautiful, very loving Christian. But she loved her faith and she loved the church. And she didn't raise us wrong. She raised us right. I made a decision to live the heathen lifestyle because I knew my mother raised me right.
What did you think of God at that point in your life as a young man?
I was so broken and hurting, and because of the rejection, you know, from my father. And I went on to just dive myself into playing sports. And I always say that my pain led me to my greatness, but my greatness would eventually lead me to my destructive behavior. Because you're not well on the inside. It doesn't matter what you look like from the outside. I think everybody looks at the outside, well, you're strong, but on the inside, you know, toxic. You know, you're just living a life completely lost and separated. So I went into a lifestyle of being famous, and I went into a lifestyle that no one's going to ever tell me what to do because of my father, how he had treated us. I would never let anyone else tell me what to do, so I wanted to do things on my own way, not even listening to my mom and her ways, and we knew they were right. I couldn't even walk into the house with a baseball hat on because she would look at, boy, you better take that hat off in this house before I knock it off your head.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
because of disrespect of wearing
that hat. Totally disrespect. And, you know, she gave you that look, you know, it was just like, okay, Mom, she's like, and we understood that as her kids. And she raised us, like I said, the right way, treating other people the right way. And she made me understand, you know, because I play Major League Baseball, you're no better than anybody else.
Wow.
You know, she wasn't all wrapped up around my baseball career. You know, she was wrapped up into Jesus. She wasn't one of these mothers that's my son. She was like, okay, you play ball. Okay, you accomplished something in your life, but are you saved?
In other words, your career and your kids were never her identity.
No.
It was always Jesus.
It was always Jesus.
Yeah.
My kids were her grandkids and everything. She loved them and she loved me. But at the same time, she wanted me to find salvation.
Yeah.
More than anything. That's all she really cared about. Because, you know, on her deathbed, she passed away at the age of 55. She had terminal breast cancer. And my sister found a journal under her bed. And under her bed, in the journal, she was praying to God about saving all of us. Those were her prayers in her secret place about saving us. And her journal said, like, when it came to me, she was like, God, knock him off his throne. Do whatever you have to do, but bring salvation to him. And I remember one night she asked me to pray for her, you know, when she was sick and she was laying in bed. And she said, Daryl, you can pray. And she said, the Lord just spoke to me. She said, you're going to go through it. But she said, the Lord said he's going to get it out of you. She said, but you're going to go through it. This is before everything even hit the fan.
Yeah, you know, where were you in your career at that point?
I was at a place where I was struggling, but at the same time, I was still trying to make comebacks and stuff like that. But she said, you're not going through it right now. You're going to really go through it. It's going to be hard. She said, but the Lord said he's going to get out of you. She said, you're going to be a preacher. I said, Mom, don't talk to me like that. I need a drink.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you're in the major leagues at this time.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, and you've had good success, and you're struggling. Talk about your journey a little bit in the major leagues.
My struggle wasn't about playing. My struggle was about living.
Mm.
I think a lot of times, you know, when you look at athletes, you know, we're great at playing, but hiding who we are is one of the hardest things you can really do, because the broken part of you eventually is going to show up and show out. And that's what it was for me. I was at the height of my career playing, being successful and achieving all these great things. But on the inside, my life was just so empty. You know, I had accumulated wealth, fame, and stuff, and privilege, living behind community gates, but I was just, like, so broken and so hurting and on the inside, and I really needed something different. I didn't know what it was at the time, because I kept trying to feel myself, a new car, a new house, a new this, a new that will make me feel better, and at the end of the day, it never did make me feel well on the inside.
When did you feel like, oh, I was addicted? Was that a part of your life growing up in high school, in college? When did the addiction start, do you think?
I was addicted at the age of 14.
Wow.
You know, I was addicted to marijuana. I was smoking marijuana. I got kicked out of 4 junior high schools. I was setting bathrooms on fire. I was in trouble. I was getting high, going to school in the morning. Didn't want to go to first period, so I go to the bathroom, light the bathroom on fire so we can have fire drills. And, you know, they finally kicked me out of one of the junior high schools. Then they kicked me out of another one. They kicked me out of another one. And I remember my mother dropping me off every day to go to this other junior high school, and as soon as she dropped me off at the bus station, I would, like, turn back and head back home, and I missed, like, 40 days straight, and she didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to do with me or my brother Ronnie, because she didn't really have problems out of the girls. She just had problems out of me and Ronnie. She didn't have problems with Michael, but, you know, she had problems with me and Ronnie was struggling. I was struggling. Ronnie was struggling in, like, just all kind of activities, breaking in homes and doing all kind of things, because we were so broken. My father beat us and made us feel, like, this big, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm never going to touch my kids. I'm never going to do them like that when I have my own kids. And I never put my hands on my own kids, because I was damaged and I was left with these wounds and scars before I ever put a uniform on. Mm-hmm.
And yet you had never acknowledged them or worked through them. And you're probably an angry guy growing up.
I didn't have time to work through them, because everything was, like, thrown on me by how talented I was.
Yeah.
See, sports was an outlet for me in high school, and I remember going to play basketball, and I just remember getting in trouble in high school, and the basketball coaches, you know, they would sit you where you wouldn't play because you couldn't get in trouble. You had to have discipline. And I had no discipline at the time. And I remember one game we didn't play, and me and this other guy, and we walked off at the third quarter, and the coach was like, that's all right. I'll see him in practice. And when we got to practice, the next day he made us run suicides all day long. I mean, he just killed us. He was like, I bet you'll never walk off that court again on me, and he was right. You know, that brought discipline to me and made me start understanding I got to be more disciplined. And I went into baseball, and I became more disciplined at that, because in my first year in high school in baseball, I was angry, like you said. And the coach, like, I ran across the field, and then I walked halfway, and then the coach kind of, like, thumped me in the head and said, don't you ever walk off this field again. I took that uniform off, and I threw it in his face and quit. I was like, I'm done. That was my first year in high school and playing baseball. And I didn't know if I was going to go back in anything. Then I went to basketball, and they brought discipline. And I went to baseball, and me and the coach, you know, had a sit-down meeting. And I told him I was sorry, and I came back. And then I went forward into playing baseball my junior year and my senior year.
Obviously, you end up in the bigs. I mean, right out of high school. Am I right? Or
no,
you do some college?
I went to the minor. I went to the minor leagues. I came out of high school. I was the number one pick in the draft, first pick in the draft, 1980. And I went to the minor leagues. I spent 2.5 years in the minor leagues, and then I got to the big leagues at the age of 21.
Wow.
So you are talented. You've got a future. And you said earlier, Tracy meets you and you're $3 million in debt. You're addicted. You've had ups and downs in the league. How did you end up there?
Well, let me say this. You know, when I came to the big leagues at the age of 21, that was my rookie year, 1983. And I just remember being in spring training that year and playing well and all the guys liking me. And then I thought to myself, man, these guys like me. My father didn't like me, and these guys like me, and I want to fit in. So I got to the big leagues, and my first road trip, there it was. You know, a veteran player said, go back to the bathroom. And that's how I got introduced to cocaine. So it was laid out there, and I got introduced to that drug right there. And he said, welcome to the big leagues, kids. And I just thought, you know, I needed to fit in. These guys like me. They accept me. So I hit it, and I liked it. And then they took me out. That night when I got to the hotel, they said, just go drop your bag off, meet us down in the bar. And they took me out, and they took me out to the club, and there it was. They just kind of, like, just threw it in my lap. They said, welcome to the league, kid. And I thought, man, I have arrived. My father said I would never be anything, and I felt that way. And I felt like these guys liked me, and they accepted me for just who I was and everything. And there I was coming to the big leagues. I learned all the things the wrong way coming to the big leagues. I was multi-talented. You know, I could play. And like most guys, you know, you see, play sports, they got all the talent. But do you have the character?
Right.
You know, it's a big difference in, you know, just playing and not having character. Because if you don't have the character, that part is going to catch up with you somewhere along the line. And that's where it caught up with me along the way in my career. The character of who I was really caught up to me because I didn't have a foundation. I didn't have a solid foundation. I had a foundation of playing. I can get up every day and play and go out, drink, party, women, and come to the ballpark and I just turn it on, you know, because I was a player. But, you know, I just remember Tracy coming into my life and I just remember her saying to me, when are you going to ever take that uniform off? That really stuck to me, you know, after all the struggles that me and her had went through back and forth and everything. And then she was talking about taking the uniform off. I had never heard that before because she was like, you identifying yourself as the wrong person. When are you going to identify yourself in Christ? When are you going to do what God's called you to do? And I was never pushed in that area to figure that part out because the baseball uniform, the Mets, Dodgers, Yankees, Giants, teams I play for, and I always say the name on the back is going to always be the same. Last name, Strawberry, has never changed. And there I was just left in that place thinking about that when she had made that comment to me. And I was like, man, she's right. You know, when am I going to ever take this uniform off and become the man that God wants me to be?
Well, let me ask you, as you were in the league, did you ever see players that professed to be Christ followers and they were living it?
Oh, no question. Mookie Wilson and Gary Carter, you're probably two players out of, you know, the whole clubhouse, you know, and you watch their life and you just, they're just such a great example of loving God and loving their family and then baseball. But most of us had it, baseball and everything else that came along with it. We didn't have that foundation, and you watch these guys have this foundation of who their family was and how they were, and they didn't condemn anybody. They would go out to dinner with us on the road and have dinner like players do, and but after having dinner, when the rest of the players getting ready to go this way, they would say, well, I'll see you guys tomorrow at the ballpark. They would jump in the cab and head back to the hotel, and they would see us at the ballpark the next day, and they never condemned anybody. They just, you know, never asked us how was our night. You know, they said, thanks for having us out to dinner. We had a great time and everything else. They never talked about anything else, never talked about what we were doing. Most of us were lost, and these two guys had such great foundation of being a man.
One of the greatest things that ever happened to you, second to your walk with Jesus, which we're going to hear about, is sitting right there, Tracy. I mean, when you walk into his life, what did you find?
And Tracy, it'd be good to know, too, where were you at that time? You guys had been together for a while, even before you got married.
Yes. When we first met, we were both at the lowest parts in our life. I had just had 1 year clean and sober. I was literally 1 week saved. So I was trying to figure out what the word saved meant. Daryl was at his worst, you know, $3 million in debt. He was still struggling to stay clean and sober. I was losing custody of my three sons because of active addiction. That was the price I paid and how far down the scale I had gone. And I was raised in a wonderful family. I did not have the same story that Daryl had, which means afflictions and addictions can happen to anyone. So let me encourage you. You don't have to prove yourself worthy of getting out or having a story that's dysfunctional to understand that you can get lost, but there's hope and redemption and restoration in Jesus Christ. So when he and I first met, we were both at the bottom, and we were attracted by our pain. And that's a very dangerous thing. So we had this desire to love, but we did not have the ability to love, which is such an entirely different thing. We weren't capable of loving one another. We did not talk about baseball at all. I saw Daryl sitting in a chair at a recovery conference where we met. He was skeletal. They had just found him again, like in the back of a trash can on the street.
Whoa. Yeah, when you say gutter, you're literally talking gutter.
The gutter.
Yeah.
Literally.
Daryl, you were done with baseball at that time?
I was done with baseball
at that
time.
How many years had you been out?
I think it was a couple years. You know, I ended up in prison, Florida State Prison, with a T-17169. I'd never forget that number, you know.
His prisoner number.
I never forget that number. You know, I was, like, thinking about that number, and I remember having cancer twice and losing my left kidney in my second surgery. So I always looked at God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. He was stopping me at every stop so I wouldn't kill myself.
Trying to get you to look up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of us, he has to, you know, really do it, you know, like with me, you know, to be able to stop me and put me in places to slow me down. And it was all part of his plan. And Tracy was all part of his plan coming into my life, when, where she was and everything. And he would eventually take her and use her to lead me all the way back. And that was a process. See, people always talk about, well, look at you guys' life now. But you know, I sat for 7 years. When me and her got together, God made me sit to get discipled. And I was so mad. I was like, God, why are you always talking to Tracy? And you don't talk to me. And he goes, because she spends time with me. See, I didn't realize that she had a one-on-one encounter time with God. And that was her time when she gets up every morning, because she still does that today. She gets up at like 5:30 in the morning and she goes study and she go be with God and pray and everything. And I realized, well, God, I'm not waking up at 5:30 in the morning. And he was just like, well, you're never going to get where you need to get if you don't get to this place of spending time with me. And that's what happened. I was sitting for those 7 years, which was great. I don't know why he had to sit me 7 years, but he sat me for 7 years before he released me, before I can go out speaking or anything. He made me come to a place of humility, to be able to humble myself, to be able to understand what humility is. He made me understand who Moses was. You know, Moses had a speech impediment, but he says, Moses, I used him mightily because of his meekness. And he was humble enough to humble himself and say, I'm not qualified to do what you want me to do. Because some of us are jumping these places and we think we're so qualified to do it. And we don't really know that the devil will strangle you if you do not know the word of God. That's why God sat me for 7 years. Because Tracy was empowered with wisdom and knowledge of the word of God. Her in-depth is, you know, who she is, a teacher and everything. I didn't have that from the beginning because I wasn't spending time with God. And you can never fulfill the promises over your life until you actually spend that time with God. And that's what happened to me. I had to spend that time. So what did I start doing? I started staying up at night because she goes to bed at 8:30. I started staying up at night and turning off the television and putting the cell phone away. And I started saturating myself in the Word of God. And I started studying the Word with God. And there it was. I started having a relationship with God for myself, just like she was having.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I've said to guys who have said to me, you know, my wife's so much more spiritually mature. She knows the word better than me. I know I'm supposed to be a leader in our family and with my wife and my kids, but, you know, I just will never match her. You know what I say? I'm like, dude, you ever been second string? What do you do when you're second string? You want to be first string, right? So when that guy's sleeping, you're in the weight room, you're on the track, you're you know, you're not going to stand to be second string. So when your wife goes to bed, get in the word. And your wife, get in. You know, it's just like, I want to become the man God's called me to be. And that's what it sounds like you did, Daryl. That's awesome.
Yeah. So take us back to, you're in this recovery room and there's Daryl.
We have a conversation and I am at a place in my life where I don't know if I'm really sold out on Jesus or not, even though I've given him my life, because I'm angry with him. I'm very angry. So I'm having this inner turmoil and this inner struggle of surrendering my own life to Christ. But what I do know is I've had enough, and the enemy has taken too much from me because I gave him permission. Mm-hmm. I wasn't obedient. I wouldn't listen. I did not take ownership of my life and my mistakes, and it was time to do that. And when I saw Daryl and met Daryl, there was this love in this man, this genuine truth inside of him that anyone could see. That's why everyone loved Daryl Strawberry, regardless of how far down the scale he went. But he was honest with you. He even told me, he said, girl, you don't want to mess with me. I'm going to put you through it. And when I first met Daryl, my first words to him was, I don't care what you did for a living, how many home runs you hit. There's a reason why people like you and I are in this room right here. We're broken. So I'm not trying to go down this road. I'm not trying to play with another player, you know, in life, because I'm not a baseball fan or a sports fan or anything like that. And I was just very kind of in your face to him, guarded. But he, and I was ready to leave. He grabbed my hand. He said, why don't you stay? We're at a hotel recovery convention. It was full. And I was just disgusted and wanted to leave because people could not see the soul of Daryl Strawberry. They were still coming to this man who was probably 100 pounds soaking wet, almost dead, still pulling for an autograph, still pulling for their picture. I'm like, I just can't deal. I can't deal with this. I'm disgusted at people. I'm disgusted with my life. I don't want to deal with this.
And yet, Tracy, you saw... you saw the true identity of a child of God in him.
Yes, yes, who God created him to be, who God creates all of us to be. It just takes out someone special to stand before you and say, there is greatness in you. There's genuineness in you. There are gems on the inside of you. Now, if you're willing, but you have to be willing, if you're willing to walk the walk, I'm going to jump in here with you, and I'm going to help pull you out, but you've got to come forward. Mm,
that is so true, and we got to get into identity. Because Daryl's trying to find his. And I tell you what, in 30 plus years working with pro athletes, I know this. They're always treated as a pro athlete. And when somebody recognizes them as a person, and that's what you did, might have been one of the first times in Daryl's life. I don't know. I have to tell us on the next episode. But it's like there's somebody that sees me, not my jersey, not my number, not my stats. They see that I'm a human being, not just a, and that's, and every player knows this isn't who I am. This is what I do.
That's right.
And God's gifted me, but you saw the soul.
Yes.
And I think in our marriages, the same thing's happening is we're hoping our spouse will see us as a man, as a woman, and love us as an image bearer of the image of God and treat us from there with respect.
The great thing about Daryl and Tracy Strawberry's story is the turnaround that we've heard about today is available to any person who is willing to own up to the mess that their life has become and turn to Christ and surrender to him. This is the message of the gospel, that Jesus came not just to save us from eternal punishment, but to save us from the mess we've made of our own lives, to bring beauty from the ashes of our lives. Daryl has shared his story in his book, Turn Your Season Around, which we have in our Family Life Today Resource Center. It's a great story of God's redemptive work in someone's life. And we have copies available. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to get your copy. Again, the title of the book is Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. Order it from us online at familylifetoday.com or call to order at 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, the kind of transformation we've heard Daryl and Tracy talk about today is what is at the heart of all that we do here at Family Life. We are committed to the goal of effectively developing godly marriages and families, turnarounds in marriages and families that for whatever reason, you've gotten off in the ditch, things have gotten messy, you need help, you need hope. That's what Family Life Today is here to provide. And in this last week of August, we are continuing to ask listeners in every city where Family Life Today is heard, would you be one of two new families in your community who would step forward and say, we believe in the ministry of Family Life Today. We want to support the ongoing work of Family Life Today. We'd like to join you as a monthly supporter, what we call a legacy partner, someone who invests each month in the ministry of Family Life Today so it can continue to be heard in this community and in cities all across the country. If you would be one of those two families stepping forward in your community, we'd love to say thank you by sending you a few items. We'd like to send you Dave and Ann Wilson's new book, No Perfect Parents. We'd also like to send you access to more than a dozen messages from Dave and Ann, some of which have been featured on Family Life Today, some you've not heard before. And then we'd like to send you a certificate so that you and your spouse, or you can pass this on to someone else you know if you'd like, you can attend one of our upcoming Weekend to Remember marriage getaways. The certificate covers the registration cost, and it's our gift to you when you join us as a new monthly legacy partner. Find out more or sign up today. Go online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. And we just ask that you'd pray. Ask the Lord, would you want me to be a Family Life Today legacy partner? And if God says yes, then go online or pick up the phone and give us a call. And we hope you can join us again tomorrow when we're going to hear more from Daryl and Tracy Strawberry about the turnaround that God has done in their lives and in their relationship and how that turnaround's available to any of us. That comes up tomorrow. Hope you can be with us for that. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.